real encouragement, beloved, and we'd like to urge you to take it seriously to heart. If you haven't taken that one step to the Lord Jesus, this is the day that you ought to do it. I can imagine some heart out there saying, I wish I knew really how to be saved. How I could know that God would be pleased with me, that I could be justified, and I could have the hope of heaven in my heart. Beloved, we want to show you from God's Word that that's just what He plans for you too. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, we read the lovely story of a man named Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, a centurion is a man who is a soldier in charge of 100 soldiers. At this time, Israel was without a king. They'd been dispersed. They were under the authority of Rome. And there isn't any indication when this man Cornelius, the captain of the Italian band, first became exposed to the teaching of Jehovah God. But having his place of service for the army of Rome in Palestine, it's no wonder that he was aware of the Holy Scriptures. And doubtless he was what the Bible refers to as a proselyte. That is, not Jewish by birth, but having a genuine concern for the Scriptures, because he had seen the lives that the people lived, he heard their teachings on the Scriptures, and was greatly concerned about the idolatry that was prevalent in that day. Now we read he was a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Certainly, this is the description of a man who had turned his back on paganism and idolatry that existed in his day. Cornelius was sincerely seeking God. You know, no one naturally seeks the Lord, but the Spirit of God performs a miracle that causes the individual to actually have a capacity to do so. Jesus said, And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this he spake concerning the manner of death he was to die. Jesus Christ was lifted up from the earth on a cross. He was crucified, and the Scripture says that God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ was the substitute who died for the sins of man. Cornelius is a man who believed the Old Testament Scriptures that pointed to a lamb that God would provide, the Lamb of God which would take away the sin of the world. And so this man Cornelius was greatly concerned about these matters and had turned his back upon the paganism and the idol worship that was so prevalent in his day. The Spirit of God had been drawing him. He was not a self-righteous man. How different he was from the Pharisee, for example, who prayed, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men. Here was a sincere man, humble in heart. And what he did was done in humility, and his associates respected him for it. He recognized himself to be a sinner and in need of the mercy and the grace of God. And the degree of light that he had caused him to seek the Lord. And God gave this promise, you shall seek me, and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Now in verse 3 we read, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname was Peter. He lodgeth there with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now there's more involved here than the salvation of just one man. God is about to launch a ministry that is to embrace not only Israel, but all of the Gentile world. We remember that God had promised Abraham that his seed would bless the whole world. And now it's coming to pass. God is setting the stage. But before he does that, he has to get his servant ready. And we read in the 9th verse, on the morrow when they, that is the servants that came from the home of Cornelius, when they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, whereon were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, Peter, rise, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath called clean, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received again into heaven. Now there's a real work of preparation that had to go on in the heart of Peter. You see, he was a servant of God and was a servant to Israel. And he was one of the devout sons of Israel who could deliver the message of God only to Israel. But now the Lord's getting him ready for a new work. And we read in the 21st verse, Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him. You see, he had seen the vision, he had heard the voice of God, and then God said, There are men waiting for you. And Peter went down to see the men that were sent from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherewith you're come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. You know, Cornelius wasn't a bit ashamed, nor bashful, nor distressed about this heavenly experience. He didn't hide his experience from his loved ones or friends. And, you know, it said that he was a man who feared God with all of his house. That meant that his spiritual inclinations included his family. He was a man concerned about his family's welfare as well as his own. And then his friends were included. He not only got his relatives, but his near friends. He wanted them all to hear the good news that God had to offer through the Apostle Peter. And so we read in the 34th verse the message that Peter gives them. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are all witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Beloved, the Scripture tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter has been declaring the substitution of Jesus Christ for death-deserving sinners. the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God has laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all. Beloved, whatever you have in your life that you think might merit salvation, it is insufficient without that which Jesus Christ has done for all sinners. I want to call your attention to the character of the man who sent for Peter. He was not a drunken, carousing, irresponsible soldier with nothing more to do than fill up his wasted hours with licentious living. This was a home man. He loved his family. He spent his extra hours off duty with them. It says that he was devout. That means he was devoted. It says that he feared God. He had not only a concern for his family, but he had a concern about spiritual things. Then it says he gave much alms to the people. When the Bible refers to the people, ordinarily it's talking about the people of Israel, because they were contrasted over against the Gentile as the heathen, and God referred to them as the people or the heathen, contrasting the chosen people of Israel with the Gentile nations. Now God is beginning to show the people, the Jewish people of Israel, that God has brought salvation not only for Israel, but for those who were considered heathen as well. Remember that the father gave the promise to his son when he said, I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. So this devout man who feared God with all of his house and gave alms, was a generous-hearted man, gave liberally to the work of God. He wasn't under the law, you see, but every Jewish man was under the law and had to give a tithe to the Lord and to the house of God, and then alms was just a part of his generosity. And so this man was very generous. And then it says he was a man of prayer, for he prayed. And I'm happy to say that God took notice of his prayers. For the angel that came to him said, thine alms and thy prayers are a memorial before God for thee. Now, many people feel that if they pray, that if they're very religious, if they're devoted to a church, if they're generous in their giving to that church and giving to worthwhile charitable institution, that that will be a memorial before God for them. Perhaps so, and perhaps not. Will you say, why would there be a difference between any good thing that we do and the good that Cornelius did? Well, the important thing is to notice that Cornelius still lacked one thing. And, beloved, if you are a devout man, a man who fears God, a man who is generous, and a man who prays, and still lack the same thing that Cornelius lacked, you are just as unsaved today as Cornelius was before Peter came to his house. Well, you'll say, how could a man who had all of these virtues be a lost man? Beloved, God says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the Savior of man. And if being devout and fearing God and a generous man and a praying man brought salvation, then God would never have sent Christ to die for sinners. But when Peter came and preached the gospel that Jesus Christ died for all men and that he rose again and had power to justify those who believed on him, these people believed on Christ and the Holy Spirit descended upon them. They were born from above. Beloved, if you will believe on Jesus Christ as Cornelius and his household and his friends did, you too will have eternal life, eternal salvation. Cornelius opened the door of his house for Peter to come in, and then he opened the door of his heart that the Lord Jesus might come in. Will you today open your heart that you might receive the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you?